X-Men Season 1, Episode 10, Beast. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Starring Stephen Chesterton as Beast. Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier. Omri Rose as Cyclops. Natalie Winter as Jean Grey. Joseph Sabirik as Iceman. Robert Pierce as Angel. Sarah Langton as Polaris. John Curcio as Havoc. Sophie Noel as Zelda. Also featuring the voices of Drew Kalen, Kevin Gaddy, Rex Anderson, and Daniel Kerry. And introducing Dara Zeisman as Vera. Music by Declan Gilgallon. Script editing by Drew Kalen. Written and edited by Calderton, based on Amazing Adventures 11 by Jerry Conway and Tom Sutton. X-Men is copyright of Marvel Entertainment. No infringement.
Outcasts, saviors, heroes. The students of Xavier's school have been all these things and more. But today, they are simply seniors on their last day of school. A year ago, they joined it as children. Today, they graduate as X-Men. As he looks out upon the gathered crowd, Charles Xavier lets out an exhaled breath. Today, for the first time, his school for the gifted actually looks like a school. Friends and family sit on white chairs on the lawn before a stage upon which sits Xavier's first class. As he wheels himself up to the specially made podium, he would not have it any other way. Some things must, of course, remain hidden from them, but today, Charles Xavier is nothing more than a proud teacher.
Friends, family, honored guests, today is an historic occasion. Today, the first class of Xavier School graduates with honors. Our curriculum may have not been long. It may be different from those that you are used to. But I can tell you that over this past year, these young men and women have grown more than most do in a lifetime. Each of them have honed their gifts and become the people you see them as now. Now I know that some of you have not been comfortable in having gifted sons and daughters. Some of you do not even know what this school is for, what gifts they have. For those that know, I can tell you that you should be proud. For those that do not know, it is for good reason. And I hope that one day, you and the rest of the world will be ready to know. But for now, please rise and put your hands together for my first class.
The audience applauds, somewhat forced in some cases, as names are read out and diplomas are given. The rest of the ceremony goes off without a hitch, and then friends, family, and students gather in reception tents. As the rest of the group mingle with their parents, Warren sits alone, coddling his drink. Jean, noticing this, excuses herself from her family and makes her way over to join him.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
Sorry your mom couldn't be here.
Oh, she could. But she's busy spending the money she got in Dad's will halfway around the world. With her new toy boy, no less.
Candy couldn't make it?
She's out of town.
Oh. Well, if it's any consolation, my dad just asked me if I was going to a real college now.
I think they all expect us to just have normal lives, normal jobs.
Well, who's to say we won't? This has only taken a year, and the professor said we can go do whatever we want now. Now that we have control enough to live normal lives.
You have control. No amount of training will get rid of these things.
Across the tent, the mood of the guests is also the topic of conversation with the Summers brothers.
Kinda glad Mom and Dad aren't here, you know? I don't mean it like that, obviously, but I'm glad they aren't standing here giving fake smiles at us and pretending to care about the fact that Xavier is giving you a piece of paper, you know?
Yeah, but I'd like to think they'd be proud.
Yeah, but I think they're barely used to the idea that their kids are mutants.
And this is all kinda rubbing their faces in it, I know. We said all this, but The professor insisted we do this like any other school.
Did he tell you it would only be a year?
No, he just told us a couple of weeks ago that he thought we were all ready. I guess our extracurricular stuff was better than 3 or 4 years of training ever could be.
You think I'd do it so quick?
Do you want to?
Yeah, I guess. My foster parents were always great, but now that they know, they haven't been the same. I don't think they want me anymore.
Well, I want you, in any case.
Thanks, bro. And that's why I just filed the papers to change my name back.
For real?
Yep. Alex Summers. Pleased to meet you.
Awesome. Hey, Alex,
Yeah?
Any more random incidents since the circus?
A few close calls, but no, why?
Just wondering.
Scott then looks up and sees Jean walking back to rejoin her parents, waving him over to join her as she does.
Oh boy.
Been dreading this?
Yep. I can just see it now. Bad enough she's a mutant, never mind she's dating one.
I'm sure they'll be cool. But still, good luck.
Scott exhales and makes his way over. Meanwhile, Bobby is doing some introducing of his own.
Mom, Dad, this is Zelda.
Zelda? That a mutant name?
What?
Dad! No, it's not. Damn it. Why'd you have to ruin everything?
What's wrong, Bobby?
She didn't know!
Sure I did.
What?
I know.
Since when? Excuse us for a second.
The Drakes look put out as Bobby leads Zelda away from them for a private conversation.
Bobby, it's okay.
But since when?
Since I'm not stupid. I saw you make your latte into an iced coffee one time. Then I saw the X-Men on TV and, well, I put two and two together.
You're not freaked out?
No. I think it's kind of hot, actually. Or cool.
I just... Wow! How long have you known?
Since before we started dating.
What?
Hank, meanwhile, is sitting with his parents, having an awkward conversation.
All I'm saying, Hank, is that you need time to think about your future. It's time for you to start a career, a real life.
Yeah, I know, but...
But nothing, son. We let you come here because you needed to learn to control your strength, learn how to fit in and hide certain things. But now you've graduated. It's time to move on. Start your life.
Hank doesn't say a thing, just lowers his head to the table in thought. Later, as the guests begin to leave, Hank makes his way over to Xavier.
Thank you for coming, Dr. Gray. I will take care of Jean.
Professor?
Yes, Henry?
Do you have a moment to talk?
Of course. What is it?
I know... that the others are all staying on as postgraduates. You know, X-Men. But I...
Hank, what is it?
I'm leaving.
A few hours later, Hank and Xavier now sit talking in his study.
Well, I am sorry to hear you say that, Henry, truly. If this is down to pressure from your father...
It's not just that. I can't do this anymore. I don't like what you did to Jean. And I don't think I ever really trusted you after that. And, well, I don't really believe in all this anymore.
In being X-Men?
In all of it. Don't get me wrong, I'm no Magneto. But I'm just sick of saving a world that hates us. I mean, look at the Sentinels. They built those things to kill us, and when it all blew up in their faces, they blame us for it. We save them all again, and we get the stick. I can't defend people like that anymore. And besides, you have Lorna now, and Scott says Alex will be joining soon.
But the Danger Room, Cerebro... All of it was because of you. You're irreplaceable, Hank.
I know. But, like I said, I can't do this anymore.
Okay, I understand. And I did say that it was your own choice as to whether you stayed on. When will you go?
Tomorrow. gives me time to make arrangements and say goodbye.
All right. I suppose we had better tell them.
The next morning, a sad group of X-Men, along with their mentor, gather to wish a friend goodbye. Hank McCoy, lifting his case into the back of a taxi, closes it and walks around to the front of the car.
Just hang on a moment, please, pal.
Hank looks up with a smile towards his solemn friends and his professor, gathered on the steps and doorway.
Where are you headed to?
Manhattan. My parents lent me enough to get an apartment in the city.
Sounds nice, I'll say.
See you around, Hank.
Yeah, all the best, buddy.
Thank you, my friends.
As Hank turns to go, Bobby approaches, his expression more grim than anyone's.
I'll come visit you, huh? Won't you settle then?
Of course. You're all more than welcome. Especially you, Bobby.
Sure we can't change your mind? I mean, who's going to repair the danger room next time it breaks down?
The professor knows the systems as well as I do.
Bye, Hank.
See you soon.
Hank leans down, offering his arms to Bobby, and the two friends embrace. Moments later, the man formerly known as Beast enters the taxi, and it speeds away, exiting the Institute gate as the others look on.
Good luck, Henry.
3 months later.
Morning.
Morning. It's okay, love. You can go back to sleep.
For another hour? What's the point?
I suppose.
Hank smiles at Vera as he stands and makes his way over to the bathroom to shower. As he does, Vera sits up and stares at her boyfriend's massive feet.
I swear, those things just keep getting bigger every day.
Laugh it up.
Hank quickly showers, dresses, and after a quick breakfast, is soon at his front door being kissed goodbye.
Don't forget to ring your mother on your break.
I will.
And don't forget to actually take your lunch break today.
Yes, dear.
Have a good day.
You too.
Hank soon finds himself sitting on a packed subway train, talking on his cell phone to an old friend.
Moved in together? So you two are pretty serious now, huh?
Yeah, I suppose we are. What about Zelda?
Same as always. Oh, guess where we just came from?
Japan?
What? How do you...
I saw the news. The whole thing was broadcast live.
Yeah, heard about that from Zelda.
So, who was the, fiery attacker?
He calls himself Sunfire. A total jerk. But we worked it out. After I cool him off a bit.
Fair enough. I have to ask, Bobby. What's with the new, wardrobe?
Oh, Gene and the professor made them. Neat, huh? They felt like since we graduated, we shouldn't be in school uniform anymore. Be individual heroes, you know?
Of course. I like them. Even if they're a little snug.
Half an hour later, Hank walks amongst the crowd and enters the large skyscraper in the center of the city. The sign on it reads, Brand Corporation. After clocking in and greeting several fellow co-workers, he makes his way into the science labs and to his own desk at the biochemical division.
Good morning, Hank.
Morning, Stu.
As the day goes on, Hank spends it taking samples, testing them, and looking endlessly into microscopes. That is, until his boss approaches.
What are you working on there, Hank? B-63?
No, one of my own, actually.
I hope you have approval for that.
I do.
So, what is it?
I'm hoping something that will help a lot of people in the world.
Like who?
Mutants.
Come again?
Mutants, Jerry. Look, I know that this is a bit of a hot topic, but the head of the department cleared it.
What is it? A cure?
Not as such. Just for appearances.
I don't follow.
Look, a lot of mutants out there can't even leave their houses for fear of being attacked. Some of them can hide. They look just like you and me. But this will help those that can't fit in.
Help them hide? So we don't know that they are mutants? You did see what they did to Genosha, right?
Yes, of course I did. But why should regular, normal people have to worry about hate crimes when they had nothing to do with that?
Normal people? Hank, they aren't normal people. They're mutants.
Jerry.
No, Hank. I want you to stop this right now until I confirm that you got it approved. Until then, I want you working on what I give you. Okay?
But...
No buts. Not unless you want to be looking for a new job.
As Jerry walks away, Hank can't help but curl his face up into a snarl. Taking a piece of paper from his desk, he crumples it up and throws it into the waste paper basket. Hank returns home that night, dejected, solemn.
Hey, what's up, hon?
Just work stuff.
What is it? Talk to me.
Nothing really, just silly stuff. What are we doing for dinner?
Was thinking takeout. Not in the mood to cook, and we got nothing in.
Okay. I'm gonna get changed. Have a look at the menus.
Sure.
That night, Hank barely speaks, picking at his Chinese takeout as the TV plays in the background.
And in other news, the mutant dubbed the Blob managed to escape custody from the specially refitted Alcatraz, which underwent major upgrades last year to accommodate and hold mutant terrorists. You may remember the Blob from the circus incident 5 months ago.
Good chow mein, huh?
While it is reported that Dukes was the cause of the breakout, at least two other mutants escaped with him, including the suspended MMA fighter Eunice the Untouchable, and one of the members of the Brotherhood of Mutants who occupied Genosha, the one calling himself Toad.
If they're together, they'll be a handful for sure.
Maybe you should go back. Help them. If that's what you want.
Huh? No. I left for a reason, Vera. I still haven't changed my mind on that.
Yeah, and I accepted you were one of those X-Men, so long as that's in the past. But not if you're gonna mope around like you have been all night.
I'm not moping.
Whatever.
You know you can't tell anyone about me, right?
Oh, don't insult me like that, Hank. You trusted me enough to tell me, and I would never, ever betray that.
Even if we broke up?
You want to break up?
No. All I'm saying is that if we did, you can't tell anyone that I'm an X-Men or even a mutant.
I know. How many times, Hank? I wouldn't ever do that. I'm not one of those mutant-hating zealots. Why do you care all of a sudden?
Because now I can't be normal.
What is that supposed to mean?
Look, I love you, Vera. I love what we have. But if I slipped up, answered the door in my socks, if someone managed to see my shoes, it could take away all of it. You don't know, Vera. You don't know how terrible mutants can be treated. They would ruin us. I would lose my job. Everything.
I know. That's why you have to be careful.
I don't want to be careful anymore. I wish I had some invisible power that I could just learn to control. And then I could live a normal life. But I can't. The moment anyone sees these feet, they'll know. And it's only a matter of time before someone sees them. Sees the freak that I am.
Do you know who you sound like right now? Why do you have to have the same size feet as everyone else? I love you for you, Hank. What the hell is normal?
Normal is being able to buy shoes at the mall.
What about your friends you told me about? What about Warren with his wings, or Scott, was it? With the eyes. How do you think they would feel hearing you go off like this on just having big feet?
They made their choice not to fit in. But I want a normal life for us, Vera. I want to let my guard down and not worry about any of this.
Whatever.
Vera storms off in anger, heading into the bedroom and slamming the door behind her. Hank exhales again as he looks back towards the TV, upon which plays a repeat of the X-Men's adventure in Japan. He walks over, grabbing his coat, and throws it over his shoulder, looking towards the bedroom door one last time before he leaves, his mind made up. With the order of a late-night taxi, Hank returns to the lab. Using his card key to enter, he turns on the lights and looks back towards his desk.
No more time.
He dives into his work, bringing out his cure samples and beginning work again. The night wears on as he works feverishly. More than once his phone rings. On the last time, he turns it off. And then, finally, as the clock reached 5:34, Hank McCoy lifts a vial of liquid in a test tube and nods.
That should do it. They'll never clear this for human trials. Hell, I'll be fired for just working on it. I have to test it now. There's no other way.
He looks at the vial of green liquid, then brings it to his lips.
For us, Vera.
And drinks. At first, he feels nothing. Then, suddenly, his entire skin is on fire, his body feeling like it is going to tear off its own skin.
No!
Hank falls backwards, smashing vials and equipment as he knocks them from the table, violently thrashing.
What is...
He falls to the floor, his hand reaching up to grab the table, trying to pull again to his feet. Suddenly, the hand changes. The pink skin turns a royal blue. His nails growing as fur starts to sprout from every pore. Vera does not sleep. She spends the night looking for Hank, calling everyone she knows. But she does not find him. The night passes, then the entire day. A call to the police tells her that he needs to be missing for 24 hours before they will get involved. And, as the 23rd hour approaches since the last she saw him, Vera now sees Hank's worried parents to the door.
I'll call you right after the police finally let me know something.
Okay. Take care of yourself.
I will. My dad'll be here from Seattle tomorrow anyway.
As she shuts the door on them, Vera is finally left alone, and in less than a handful of seconds, she buries her head into her hands and falls down the door in tears.
Vera.
Hank?
She stands with a start, looking over towards the darkened bedroom, seeing the silhouette of her man.
Don't come any closer.
Why? Don't be stupid. Where have you been? How did you get in?
I came in up the fire escape.
Come here. Let me see you.
No. Vera, I did something. Something really stupid.
What?
I took a vial. An untested serum I created.
What? A serum for what?
Mutation, or at least the physical parts of it. Would have taken away most of my speed, no climbing skill, but I would have been normal.
You stupid! Why did you do that? Why won't you come out of the bedroom? Why can't I see you?
I'm trying to warn you, to prepare you. I miscalculated. The serum didn't attack the cells. It made my beast side even more dominant in my genetic makeup.
Oh my God, what?
see for yourself.
Hank now steps forward and into the light. It's all she knows to do, as before her stands not Hank, but a large, blue, furry, ape-like beast. Yellow eyes and monstrous claw-like nails only adding to the overall look.
Oh my God! No! Get away from me!
But Vera, you said...
I said get away from me! Help! Help me!
Hank tries to step forward, reach out with his monstrous blue hand. But she just runs. Runs out of the apartment in panic. To where? Not even she knows. Just away from the thing that her boyfriend has become. Hank, lowering his arm, and then his head as tears suddenly well up in his eyes. Back at the Xavier mansion, Professor Charles Xavier is in a jovial mood from a good day as he wheels himself into his study, looking to unwind. But as he enters the darkened room, he hears something. Something sobbing. But not human sobbing. More like that of a wounded animal.
Who's there?
Xavier then turns and switches on the light, revealing the beast before him, reaching, holding up his arms to shield himself, reeling from the light and from Xavier.
What the? Hank? Hank, is that you?
She couldn't stand the sight of me. I wanted to make myself perfect. And now look at me! Is this science punishing me? Is this some kind of twisted justice for being so selfish? So greedy as to want it all?
Hank, tell me everything that happened.
A few hours later, Xavier gathers the X-Men, which now includes Alex, in the lounge.
Students, it would seem that an old friend of ours has returned to the school for a limited time, until he finds somewhere else.
Hank?
Yes, Bobby. But not quite the Hank you remember. We will explain everything. Hank, you can come on in.
The door opens, and the new, blue Hank McCoy emerges.
Wow.
Most of them just drop their jaws. Some gasp. A couple even swallow.
Hank, is that you?
Yes, Bobby. It is.
Holy crap, it really is.
Like the professor said, this is only temporary. If I had somewhere else to go, I would, but here.
You're safe.
Yes, and I have no one else who would understand.
What will you do?
Find a cure, at least to my old self again.
And in the meantime, I will try to help you get used to this new you.
Well, your code name works even better now.
Hank looks over at Bobby, not amused. But soon, after an hour-long conversation, as the group have time to digest, talk turns to more mundane things. Well, mundane for the X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, Alex may have his power under better control than I do, but still can't get him to shoot in a straight line.
Yeah, and we can't take him out with us until he does. He's a student, but not quite an X-Man yet.
But when he is, we already have a codename ready. Havoc.
The Danger Room would agree.
I think I can help with that. Just give me a few days to get used to things.
Hank looks over at Lorna, noticing her sitting very near to Bobby, as though the two have gotten close.
What about you, Lorna? You have a codename?
Polaris.
Makes sense.
It's okay, Hank. We are all here for you, okay?
Indeed. You will always have a home here.
Thank you. At least solving mutant problems again will get my mind off things. Off Vera. She knows everything. And she didn't take this well.
I see. How much did you tell her?
Like I said, everything.
You trust her?
I thought so. But now I'm not so sure. I hate to do this. God, I hate this. But we need to go and see her.
We?
You.
Ah.
Just go and do it. Hope she hasn't told anyone else yet. Just go do it and don't tell me about it, okay?
Are you sure this is what you want?
She deserves to be happy. And the only way she will be is if she doesn't remember me.
Okay.
The subject is never brought up again, except to let Hank know that it has been done. In the head offices of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Agent Fred Duncan is already setting plans in motion for his branch to cease existing. Exhaling as he places paper folders into a shredder, he then looks up, seeing his dark-haired assistant entering the room.
Well, that does it for the last of the hard copies.
The database has been purged, internet backups removed.
Thanks, Raven. Look, did you try Xavier again?
Phone lines are still down. Couldn't even get a signal on my cell. Do you want me to try from home?
No, that's fine, Raven. I'll handle it. Thank you. And goodbye. And good work.
Good luck, sir.
Raven exits the room, shutting the office door behind her and beginning to walk away. She then stops herself cold, gasping, as she sees someone before her.
You're early.
Back in the office, Agent Duncan lets out a long sigh as he sits himself back into his chair, taking a bottle of hard liquor and pouring some into a small glass. But as he lifts it to his mouth, the door opens.
Who the hell are you?
As the weeks go on, Hank buries himself into his work, not only on his own cure, but also on gear for the team, including a new visor for Scott and an entire new costume for Alex. Alex and Hank now stand in the danger room. Alex now in a black suit with white accents, a metal ring device attached to his chest.
You sure this will work?
Fairly.
All right, stand back.
The energy from Alex's hand moves from his arms, up the piped white lines of his suit, glowing from the energy and then forming into the center ring, powering up, and then firing. Hitting the suspended target ahead of him dead on, destroying it.
Whoa, good job.
Thank you, Alex.
The two then look up with a start as the door behind them is opened.
Alex, Hank, you need to come see this.
Those are never good words.
The three now join the rest of the Xavier residents, following their eyes to the TV screen. A screen on which is Larry Trask.
The Sentinel program, as created by my father, had one flaw. The controlling AI. And we all paid for his mistake. He with his life. But these new Sentinels will have no AI control in them, only human hands, with no chance of malfunction and no part of them with intelligence. Last time was a bad beta test. The restarted Sentinel program, signed off on by the President himself, will have only one target. Mutants.
Oh my stars and garters.
X-Men the Audio Drama is a production of Scytherin Podcasts. For more, go to our website at xmenaudiodrama.com. Follow us on Twitter or on YouTube at Scyther Inc. Productions, or find our group Scyther Inc. Audio Dramas on Facebook. Stay tuned for next time, as it all comes to the head in the X-Men Season 1 finale. It is the battle for survival. This project has no affiliation with Marvel Entertainment, all rights reserved.